WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
For four decades, Bert Andrews has been photographing Black cultural life in New York, particularly Black theater. His theater photographs, beginning with the 1957 production of Dark of the Moon, are reproduced in his new book, In the Shadow of the Great White Way. The book includes pictures of such celebrated actors as Cicely Tyson, Roscoe Lee Brown, James Earl Jones, and Lou Gossett Jr. in some of their earliest roles. Andrews was there to record such important theater productions as Jean Genet's The Blacks, Lorraine Hansberry's To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, Ethel Fugard's The Blood Knot, and Amiri Baraka's The Toilet and the Slave. Currently, Andrews is the photographer for the Negro Ensemble Company and the New Federal Theater. It wasn't until the early 1980s that Andrews began to see his work as valuable historical documents. At that time, he began to take steps to preserve his collection.
I applied to a couple of foundations to try to get grants for fireproof files, which I had just learned about. And a woman came over, and she looked at the stuff and said, "Well, I don't know if we can give you a grant for this. I don't know that this stuff is really that important." And 2 weeks later, it all burned down.
This was in 1985.
That's right.
Your studio was destroyed by fire. All your photographs?
100%.
What was your first reaction?
Interestingly enough, the very first reaction was kind of a mild shock, you know. So, well, that's that. I'll start again. I don't know what I thought. It didn't settle in until the next day. Because we stood out there watching it burn all night for about 8 or 9 hours. But it didn't settle in until I woke up the next day.
And then?
And then it really... That's when it got me. It was pretty horrible.
So a lot of your friends, people in the theater world, worked to get copies of as many photos as they could, photos that you'd taken to reassemble.
Yeah, a lot of people got together. A lot of people were willing to turn their stuff over to me. Fortunately, most of the stuff that I had done was institutions, mm-hmm. like the Negro Ensemble Company and New Federal Theater and Frank Saver Workshop and Richard Allen Cultural Center, like that. So a lot of that was able to be recaptured, and I'm still recapturing it because it's a slow, tedious process. But an awful lot of it was actors, press agents, who just opened their files to me, that I had worked for in the past. A lot of stuff, and that's how we collected. I'm still collecting, as a matter of fact.
Now, you started documenting what you describe as the social life of a segregated city and Black theater, because you couldn't get work at white publications.
There was no
official segregation in New York where you lived, but how were you unofficially kept out?
There just was no work. There was no place else to work, no place else to shoot. I started working for the Amsterdam News because there was no place else for me to work at that point in time. We had 7 newspapers in New York City, and not one of them would hire a Black. But that's history. That's not even peculiar to me. That's just a fact of life.
What were some of your typical early assignments?
Early assignments. Well, one of the things that I did back in those days was a man named Charlie Banks formed a magazine out of the back of a liquor store on 125th Street. He called it Social Whirl, W-H-I-R-L, the Social Whirl of Harlem. And we covered every week just about every single event that happened in Harlem, social or otherwise. We covered fires. At that time, the Vulcan Society, which was Black firemen, got together and formed a society called the Vulcan Society. And we covered the fires they gave us. As a matter of fact, we got the first Vulcan Award for covering those fires and covering those firemen. That was an assignment. We did fashion shows. We had a lot of fashion shows in those days. political events, church events. I just, whatever happened in Harlem, I covered it.
Were the Harlem fashion shows much different than the shows further downtown?
See, the fashion shows in Harlem in those days were rather special. Ladies in Harlem in those days didn't go downtown to Saks. They didn't go downtown to Bloomingdale's. They didn't go down to Henri Bendel. And what you had was, you had an awful lot of couturiers in Harlem, dressmakers, ladies who made very fine clothes. They could take Vogue magazine. In those days, it was, what, Balenciaga. They could take a Balenciaga picture and knock that off for any of their customers, you know? Those fashion shows in Harlem in those days were spectacular. Those ladies were dressed to the nines.
Do you have any copies of these photos anymore? The fashion shows, the Vulcans?
They don't exist. Mm. They all went down with the flame.
That's really heartbreaking.
And I had a complete set, of course, of the Social Worlds, complete set of Our World magazines. They all went down with the fire. Yeah. And I wouldn't even know where to begin to recollect those.
What got you started photographing theater?
What got me started photographing theater? I was dating an actress who got her first role in Dark of the Moon. And she got me the job photographing this show. And out of that show came, out of that play came Cicely Tyson, Roscoe Lee Brown, Clarence Williams III, Louise Stubbs, Dick Ward, all of these people who later went on to become names and stars in the theater, and it was their first time on a stage.
Now, you started photographing while you were in the Army, but you say that it was more of a hustle than a hobby. What was the hustle?
Well, I was in the Army, and it was a hobby. So the guys, all the guys wanted pictures to send home to their loved ones, you know? And so I was running around in my spare time taking pictures of the guys and hustling pictures.
How much did you charge them?
Oh, God, I don't remember now. I think it was a dollar.
Wasn't that bad?
A dollar and a quarter, something like that. Well, it didn't cost me anything. I mean, the Army supplied all the materials.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had bought this camera in Germany, this little camera, and all I had to do was go into the service. I ran my business out of the service club. So it cost me nothing, so they got them very, very cheap. And after a while, they started looking for me. They would come looking for me to take pictures of them in their uniforms to send home. And the officers would give me a special time to go into the dark room and stuff. So it was great. That's how it started.
There was one day when you woke up nearly blind because of diabetes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that in the book?
Well, I read it about you. It might have been in an article.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, yes, that is true. I woke up and I couldn't see, and I panicked because, of course, that's what I'm all about. If I can't see, I'm out of business. But I have a fabulous doctor who got me straightened out in very quick time, and I'm in very good shape now. And as a matter of fact, this is sort of, I hate to say this, but I hate these mixed blessings. All of these things are mixed blessings. People of my age who acquire diabetes at a late age probably get an extra 10 years over most other people because one of the reasons you get diabetes is because you've been living badly, you've been mistreating your body health-wise, and then suddenly you have to take care of yourself and you live better than most people do suddenly. You begin to take better care of your body than most people do, so it's kind of a mixed blessing. I probably live, at this point, 10 years longer than I certainly would have if I had not discovered that I had it.
You told us at the beginning of our conversation that it was only recently that you really came to see your photographs as a documentation of recent history.
Yeah, recently meaning the 80s, you know. Meaning, you know, like 83, 80, 84, like that.
Oh, right, right, that it was around 83 or 84 that you started to see it that way. Right. Now when you go to take photographs, are you self-conscious thinking that you know, in a few years, in a couple of decades, that these photographs will have important historical value as documentation.
Yeah, that's kind of in the back of my head now. You know, it really is.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing to have in the back of your head when you're taking a photograph?
It's another mixed blessing. Because it can get in your way.
Uh-huh.
You know? But what I decided to do and what I have done is, and primarily because there is very little time, okay? When you get a picture call, a director has given you some time to take these pictures, and he's jealous of that time, so you don't get a whole lot of it. So you don't have time to piddle around and get involved with his history and all that stuff. You got to get in there and get your pictures and get the hell out, because the director's sitting there patting his foot. He needs that time. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying.
So while I'm also conscious that it's historical and that they're going to be very important, and I want to make sure that I've gotten everybody and that I'm, you know, I do a little bit more now than I used to do when I would go out on the picture call, but still, you just don't have the time to do it, so you do what you have to do.
Well, Bert Andrews, thanks a lot for talking with us about your pictures.
Oh, thank you.
Photographer Bert Andrews, his new book is called In the Shadow of the Great White Way, Images from the Black Theater. It's published by Thunder's Mouth Press.